Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. All right, you just can't say the hunt is on. It has to go. The hunt is on, right? There's a lot of excitement this time of year in a place called Montana, the treasure state. A lot of things we treasure here, and that's our freedom to recreate outdoors. We do it responsibly. I know there's bad apples. We'll talk about that. Got Ron Howell on today. He's the chief of law enforcement for Montana FWP. I know that I was kidding. That made me nervous just already, and don't read into that. But because we do everything by the book here, but we're going to talk about how we do things by the book in Montana and how we have successful hunts here as well. So Ron's alongside. Greg Lemon will join us as well. Division Administrator, Communication and Education. He's been alongside many of these programs. Greg, appreciate you. And Dale Moore, host of Shadows of the Rockies, the Montana Outdoor Podcast, and the Montana Outdoor Radio Show, joining us today because the hunt is on. Let's get into it here. Again, as I mentioned, welcome. Back to the old days when Dale and I hosted a show called Curly's Coaches many years ago in Missoula, Montana. He's the host of Shadow the Rockies and the Montana Outdoor Podcast, and just does a great job with that, along with the Montana Outdoor Radio Show. Dale Moore, how you doing, Dale?
Brother Schultz, how are you this morning?
Oh, doing good. I'm really glad you could make it, and feel free to, you know, to do what you do, okay? You do a great job with Shadows of the Rockies. Greg Lemon is with us, too, Division Administrator, Communication and Education. Have known Greg for such a long time, has done such a great job there. Greg, how you doing, sir? Appreciate you. What's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. Doing good. Happy to be on.
Do you want to give me the hunt is on? Can you say that I'll just say that.
I would say really loud and enthusiastic, but I'm in the duck blind.
So oh, I see. Gotcha. Nice and quiet. We'll save that for goofy show hosts like myself. Ron Howell.
You don't want to tip him off there, Greg.
That's right.
No, uh-uh.
He's in a duck blind. Ron Howell, did you know that Greg is in a duck blind right now? You might want to check his license. Ron Howell, Chief of Law Enforcement. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm sitting right next to Greg, in fact, and he's telling me to be quiet all the time. So, doing best I can here.
the hunt is on here, maybe not in your duck blind. Thank you guys for being here. I'm going to start off, Greg, and go with you. What strikes you? If I ask the question, you know, what do people need to know right now as they make preparations? Has anything changed? What's generally coming from FWP as these thousands and thousands of hunters get ready to hunt?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. And the, you know, cornerstone for what we tell people, you know, the Montana mindset here is to have a plan when you're getting out into the field. And so some of those things that you need to consider when you have a plan or you're making your plan is access. So, you know, plan ahead for access. That means that you don't show up on a rancher's doorstep at 5:30 in the morning the day you want to hunt. It means calling ahead or figuring out you know, where you're going to go before you head to the field, and making sure that you know the rules. So we've got 7 million acres almost in block management in Montana, and that's, you know, private land, our biggest private land access program. Every one of those block management areas has their own rules, and so it, you know, being prepared doesn't just mean knowing where you're going, but knowing what the rules are going to be when you get there. Another thing we tell people, you know, part of making a plan is, you know, we have a chronic wasting disease in Montana, and we do, you know, every year, and this year is no exception, we're doing surveillance around the state. And so we want people to, you know, when they pass a CWD sampling station, we want them to consider stopping and getting their deer or elk sampled, because, you know, those samples are really important for us to be able to manage the disease. And so, you know, we want people to make a plan for how to get their animal sampled. And then, you know, this time of year, there's still grizzly bears out. And so when you're hunting in grizzly bear country, which is, you know, now, you know, basically west of the western half of the state, you know, we want you to have a plan for how you're going to carry your bear spray, and then what you're going to do if you get something down in the field and you have to make a trip or two to haul it out. You know, make sure to do it in a safe way that protects you from any encounters with a grizzly bear. So those are some of the things people can be thinking about.
Appreciate that. Ron, what's on your mind as you set hunters out into the field, so to speak? What would be your words to him? Ron Howell, Chief of Law Enforcement.
Yeah, appreciate that. I think what's always on my mind during the fall is just keeping everybody safe and making sure that everybody's safe. And Greg kind of alluded to that. I mean, Montana is bear country. And then secondly, with so many people hitting the woods and heading to eastern Montana, you know, just be mindful of your surrounding and, you know, where other people are in the deer woods. I mean, everybody's just trying to have fun and fill their tags, and sometimes that gets a little contentious. But, you know, if you just be kind of mindful and of everybody around you, you can have a safe and enjoyable fall. You know, along the lines of private property, as Greg alluded to, that continues to be the number one violation that we encounter in the fall, is individuals hunting without landowner permission. So in Montana, whether the land is posted or not, the hunter has to have landowner permission, and it is up to the hunter to know where they are at all times.
We're going to talk more about that as we roll on here. Ron Howell again with this, Chief of Law Enforcement, and Greg Lemon, Communications and Education. And then Dale Moore, host of our Shadow of the Rockies program. I've been catching that program, Dale. It's on a lot of our affiliates across the state of Montana, and you do such a great job with that. You also do the Montana Outdoor Podcast. Search for those. Co-host of the Montana Outdoor Radio Show. I'm going to ask you the same question, Dale, and then I'm going to hand it over to you for a little bit here as well, so you can play co-host with me today. Thank you for doing that. What is kind of like one of your first things that you tell the public as they're getting ready for hunting?
Well, I think one of the things that I always like to stress to everybody is, you know, that opening day and in the few days after, you know, we all get pretty excited, and sometimes we lose a little focus, shall we say. And those are one of the things, you know, we want everybody to come back and, you know, come back in one piece and feeling good and all that. And sometimes, you know, we get involved in, you know, the excitement of the hunt, and we forget about some of the basics that you want to really make sure that you have. I know on the Montana Outdoor Radio Show, just right out at opening day, we do kind of a hunter's checklist, and just as a courtesy to let people know, hey, don't forget some of these things that you need to have in your truck. Everything from the simple things like jumper cables and chains are always a good idea, tow ropes, all those kind of things. Just before you go out, just kind of go through all that, because the worst thing that can happen, and we've all done it, is we get out there and we go, oh no, I forgot that dang thing. Even just down to, you know, having your hunting tags either downloaded on your phone or on your person. So those are some of the things I always try to stress, because we've all done it. And sometimes that can really be just flat dangerous if you don't have the right gear with you.
Yeah, those are all good first aid and first step reminders there as well, Dale. I'm gonna have you got a question? Like I said, I'm gonna hand it over to you.
Yeah.
So go ahead, take over,
Ron. One of the things I had for you, Ron, that you know, we on our radio show and even the Shadow of the Rockies, I get some great emails and things from people about making that mistake, because it can happen out there. You think you're shooting at one thing, and you end up walking up to it, and oh no, I got a doe, and I'm supposed to be hunting bucks or whatever. it has been what I have learned in talking to some of the great wardens that you have all across the state is it's a lot better if you just call in and say what happened rather than hope no one's going to notice the mistake you made.
Yeah, absolutely, Dale. I mean, you know, these mistakes happen all the time, and, you know, whether it's excitement or whatever, they happen often. We've already had a couple this year, you know, a spike bull elk when you're intending to shoot a cow elk. And, you know, the best thing you can do, and that's why we add it to the regulations, is field dress the animal, take care of the meat, leave the animal lay and get a hold of a game warden. That's the best thing you can do. They might not be able to get right with you, but they'll give you instructions. We can meet up at a later date and talk about what happened and, you know, how it happened. I've always put myself in the shoes of the hunter, you know, like could what he's telling me happen to me as a game warden? And usually if the answer is yes, you know, you can generally rely that it was probably a pretty honest mistake. And, you know, sometimes there has to be accountability for your actions, of course, but it always goes better just being truthful and honest and here's what happened. So
you can sometimes not get as big a fine or something like that if we just say, hey, this is the mistake I made.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, wardens have discretion in their toolbox, and, you know, there's different ways to go about things from a warning all the way to a citation. And, you know, we hope we don't have to issue the citations. So, you know, just telling us the entire story and being honest about what happened, and we'll certainly take all that into consideration in making our final determination.
Greg, go ahead.
Oh, no, Dale, go ahead. I was going to follow up with Greg on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, Greg, one of the things that we talked about, we did a podcast here not long ago about the It's Up to Us campaign that FWP is one done for a while, but keeps updating and making it even better every year. One of the things that we had talked about was and this is kind of a delicate subject, I guess, but it just really should be mentioned. And that is, you know, nature can call when we're out doing our hunting and that. But people, I don't know why, they just tend to leave toilet paper and things like that out there. And it really doesn't take much more time to clean that up. But tell us about how that affects the landowner. So often, not only would that person lose access, but we all lose it.
Yeah, and roll into that, yeah, too. Roll into that too, Greg. I like your message about it's up to us. And that goes into what Dale is talking about as well. I mean, that's solid. I hope that sinks with people. It really is, if we want to preserve this, up to us.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys bringing that up. So, you know, it's not burying your toilet paper in your human waste when you're out in the woods is, you know, it's a great example of how one person doing something stupid can make a lot of problems for everybody else. And because, you know, it's one of the things that we hear a lot about from landowners, but also from hunters that hunt block management areas and see that kind of stuff, and it really bothers them. They really get frustrated. And typically, you know, one person that does that can impact a whole lot of hunters and a landowner. And so, you know, most of the hunters that are out there doing things the right way and being very courteous and thoughtful when they're hunting private land, but it just takes one person doing something like that has a ripple effect for everybody else. And so, you know, we've been really focused on that hunter landowner relationship for the last 4 or 5 years in our campaign. Continues to be, it's up to us, respect access and protect the hunt. And you know, really is one of those things where we need not just hunters to not just hunters doing the right things and taking responsibility for their own behavior, but also keeping an eye out for hunters that aren't, and making sure that they call of the game warden, or they, you know, they let the landowners know if the rules, the block management rules, aren't being followed, so that we can take care of it and demonstrate to everyone that we're willing to police ourselves better.
What regulation changes this year hunters should know about? We're talking about that here today on Voices of Montana. Also getting you ready for The Hunt Is On. Ron Howell is with the FWP. Chief Law Enforcement Officer Greg Lemon. Also, he's an education division administrator, communication and education. And then Dale Moore, friend and host of Shadow of the Rockies, on our affiliates here across the Northern Broadcasting System. Today, as we get on hunting here, some facts that I pulled up here, hopefully AI's got it right here, because I used them to pull it up, but it's citing FWP, you guys. Elk harvest trends in 2023, Montana hunters harvested about 176,000, with Region 3 accounting for 71,000 of that. They say Southwest Montana is home to nearly 40% of the state's elk population. That's just down the road from you, Dale Moore.
Yeah, I was just at the Region 3 headquarters, and we've got a podcast coming out here in just a few days about Region 3, and that's one of the things we discuss is their elk population is it's looking pretty healthy this year. They have seen some good counts and all that, so I think hunters are going to be pleased. Pretty exciting time for them. Be sure and check out the Montana Outdoor Podcast on YouTube, and I have a great conversation with the wildlife manager there and also head of communications and education there. So be sure and check that out. One of the things I wanted to bring up, you know, as somebody that gets the great honor of being able to report about Montana's outdoors and about hunting and all that is, you know, a lot of times when we do these kind of shows, we talk about, well, these hunters do this wrong and that wrong and all that. And I just wanted to stress one thing. The far and away majority of hunters out there are great people, love the environment, and are great caretakers of it. And in fact, have really, I think, been one of the most instrumental things in making sure that we have lots of wildlife left in this state and are cared for properly. One of the things that I think hunters are great at is being an extra set of eyes and ears out there, especially on the side for your team, Ron, with the wardens and all that. When they go to Tipmont and make that call or even go online, and maybe Greg can talk a bit about that portal now that you can actually report things or give a tip about what's going on out there online. What are some of the key things, Ron, that a person should try to kind of gather when they want to report into you? Because sometimes I know we see something that went wrong and you're all excited to, you know, report it so the wardens can get on it, and we end up not having the information you guys really need.
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Dale, and you're spot on. I mean, most of the hunters out there are, you know, doing it right, you know, taking care of the land that they enjoy, and they want to do everything right. And what we tell people is just be the best witness you can be, and Game Warden 101 is get a vehicle description and a license plate. That's really all we need. And then just, you know, good information about what the individual saw, what they saw with their own eyes, and just report that to us. It may not be the violation of the century or that type of thing, but sometimes individuals that are doing one thing wrong tend to do other things wrong. And so we want to make sure that everybody's, you know, following the law and playing by the same set of rules. So generally what we want is a vehicle license plate and a vehicle description, you know. So that's what we're looking for first and foremost.
Okay. And if it's something you see out in the field where there's not a vehicle around or that, what are some other things that can help? Like what, GPS coordinates or anything like that? Maybe?
You know, here's something I'm going to interject. Cody recommended, Cody Ross here, our producer, recommended you take a picture. Because that has a location stamp on it. If your phones are set.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that true, Ron?
Yeah, certainly with technology today, all of those things help. Like I said, just being the best witness you can. So video, picture, You know, person description, what they're wearing, all of those things, you know. All of those things help, and all those things combined usually lead to us being able to identify the individual. So pictures are great, you know, along with video. So you bet.
And Greg, could you talk a bit about the being able to do it online? I know for some things, especially, you know, a lot of this is going on in small towns, and some people might be a little apprehensive about, you know, reporting something because, well, now I'm going to, you know, everybody's going to be mad at me or whatever. But there's a way they can do this online now, right?
Well, they can. What they can do online and the web address is tipmont.mt.gov. So it's really easy. What they'll find when they go there is they'll find the local warden's phone number and how they can get a hold of their local warden. And there's a map, a really handy map that will show you all the warden districts and the names of the wardens and then show you how to get a hold of them. And you can call or text your local warden directly when, you know, if there's a crime, if you see something going on that you need to report. And the handy thing about this portal is that, you know, in Montana, lots of us hunt different parts of the state. And so we might be on a first name basis with our local warden, but we might be out, you know, somewhere else in the state and not know who the warden is. Well, on this map, you can find out who the warden is, and you can get a hold of them directly. And so it's a really useful tool we keep telling people about and want people to take advantage of. So that's Tipmont, tipmont.mt.gov.
Hey, Greg, let me ask you, we got like less than 2 minutes in this one, so I'm going to appeal into this. How do you avoid people using that as retribution? Or for the wrong reasons?
Somebody in?
Yes. Just to hassle them.
Yeah, you know, this is, and Ron touched on it too, our wardens have a lot of discretion, and they're no slouches. They know when somebody's trying to pull the wool over their eyes or trying to fabricate something. So we got the best wardens in the country, and they know they got a pretty good sense of when people are trying to pull a fast one.
Ron, that you had to be smiling about that a little bit, Ron.
I did have to chuckle a little bit. Yeah. No, but Greg's spot on. I mean, like I said earlier, if it makes sense to us when you're telling us a story, it's probably true, you know. But certainly you can tell right away when somebody's just not being upfront with you, being honest. And we'll usually get to the bottom of things, you know. So it's easier, like we said, just be truthful from the get-go.
Hey, Dale, I got like 30 seconds left. I want to ask you, because we got to get into where's the game at, right? What are we going to talk about next when we come on back after this break?
Well, yeah, one of the things I want to talk about are these great 2025 hunting forecasts that the FWP put out, and they're for each region. So I want to talk a bit about those reports and then kind of what we're doing on air and online to help steer you to help find the right game.
Mule deer, whitetail, elk population's looking good. They're coming a little bit farther eastern as well. You've got predators out there that have something to do with that. Yeah, you ever hear that in the wild? That just gets your juices going, doesn't it? Moose, bighorn sheep, mountain goat, bison, and then upland game birds. Pheasants, they're so good. Gray pheasants, chuckers, and grouse. You got spruce, sharp tail, blue grouse, ducks, geese, swans. You know, this goes on, too. Fur bears, again, as I mentioned, we're very, very fortunate. We're talking about hunting here today on Voices of Montana. Greg Lemon is with us. He is with the FWP, Division Administrator for Communications and Education, and also Ron Howell, who's with us as the Chief Law Enforcement Officer for FWP. Dale Moore, co-hosting today as our host of Shadow of the Rockies. Dale, I'm going to, I've got tons of questions too, and I know you do as well. I'll throw it to you, but I do want to get on to, you know, how are we looking? Where are the wolves? Where are the deer? Where are the elk at? Because I need some help.
Well, we have a really easy way of finding that out. One is, of course, you can listen to my show, Shadow of the Rockies. I'm doing a series for each region. And what those are is just kind of a tops of the trees from my podcast, which goes into great detail of each region. That's the Montana Outdoor Podcast, of what the hunting is looking like for each of the top species around. But, Greg, maybe you could tell us, for hunters that just want to get that outlook, the FWP did a series that's called the 2025 Hunting Forecasts, and you have an individual forecast for each region. Where do we find that on the website there?
Yeah, it's really easy. If you just go to fwp.mt.gov, when you get there, click on hunt, and then it'll pull up a little menu on the left side, and you can scroll down through that to the link to the hunting seasons. And under that link, we have the 2025 hunting forecast. And like you said, we have a link there for every region and then our upland game bird forecast.
And the planner map as well. Hit the planner map a little bit, because I think that's a great tool.
Yeah, so in that same menu, you can go to the hunt planner map. In that map, it's really an interactive tool. So you can see all of the block management areas. You can see all of the hunting districts. You can see how, the block management areas overlap hunting districts. You can see all of the FWP access properties, so like upland game bird enhancement program properties, conservation easements, any properties that we manage access on are available through that map. And then you can download the access maps right from that hunt planner, and that you can put them on your phone, and they're geo-referenced. So what that means is you can put them on your phone and then head to the field, and then you can look at the map on your phone, and it'll tell you where you are on the block management area when you got that map pulled up. So it's a really handy tool for hunters to really interact with what we've got out there for folks as in the way of information.
When I was talking with the hunt access manager for Region 2, in fact, we're just in the middle of that series on Shadow of the Rockies, Trenton Heisel there, he was telling me that there are some layers in that map system and that can help you find access that you may not know about. Talk a little bit about that, Greg.
Yeah, so we have the block management program is obviously our biggest access program, but we have upland game bird enhancement projects. We've got easements that allow hunting, and then there's just a handful of other access opportunities. And on the hunt planner, you can highlight all of those. So all you need to do, if you open up that hunt planner, is click on the little elk icon on the right and then click on access, and you can toggle those different access opportunities and really see what's available out there. And Trent's right. There's stuff I know that people aren't even thinking of that they can take advantage of.
Yeah. He was mentioning that, that you guys even worked a deal with getting some access onto some of the University of Montana land and that. And so those are some kind of neat little nuggets you can find as a hunter that you may be able to get into areas that don't have near as much hunt pressure. And, you never know. You might score big doing that. So it's worth taking a look at.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that we have here in Montana, obviously, is we got a lot of really great public lands. But more than half of the state is private land. And, that's kind of daunting for hunters sometimes. But when you pull up the hunt planner, and you look at all the various access opportunities there are around the state, I mean, it really is, you just can't get to all of it in a single year. You can't get to all of it in your lifetime. So it really, really behooves you to get on the hunt planner and really dig into it, because you know, that's where when you're putting in the effort to be successful during hunting season, it starts with planning, like I said earlier.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ron, one of the things that I got several questions on from different people out there was that there's a little confusion with the change in this wolf law now, that you can harvest more wolves in certain parts of the state than other parts in that. Can you kind of fill us in on that?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it is changing around the state, and the commission takes actions with regards to wolves. And so, you know, hunters just need to be mindful and make sure and check the regulations when they're, whether they're hunting or trapping wolves or any other animal for that matter. And so just being mindful of those quotas, and, you know, we're just a phone call away. So if you heard something has changed, you want to be clear, you know, just pick up the phone and give us a call, and we'd be happy to work through those things with you to get to the bottom of it, so you have accurate information before going out.
Yeah, for example, I was talking with Neil Anderson, the wildlife manager up in Region 1, and with these changes that the commission came across, and the legislature, of course, dictated that we need to get some more wolves harvested, is if you trap and hunt, and of course you have to have a license for each wolf, but you can harvest up to 30 wolves in Region 1. Now, he said, full disclosure, I've never known anyone that's done that yet, but it is possible.
That sounds like work.
With your hunting wolves, you have to have a license for each wolf you harvest, and then your trapping license will cover up to 15 wolves a year. There's a caveat in there, is that if you go to 15, five of those have to come from Region 1 or Region 2.
Right. Yeah, and thanks for clarifying that. That's Greg Lemon, Division Administrator, Communication and Education with FWP. Chief Law Enforcement Officer is Ron Howell with us, FWP, and Dale Moore, host of Shadow of the Rockies, co-hosting today. I got a couple of minutes before we get into the next break here. Ron, what are some new regulations? Or Greg, what's if there's something out there that's going to trip us up, is it quotas on pheasants? What have we been dealing with that we've had to change, maybe our long way of doing things?
Yeah, I think a couple of things that just the public needs to be aware of, and why it doesn't affect everybody, but it does affect quite a few. With the increasing, you know, use of technology, drones is something that it seems to be on the minds of a lot people recently, and that did change due to Senate Bill 106 in the last legislative session, and it just went into effect October 1st. It used to be using an aircraft, and a drone is considered an aircraft, no different from a plane or helicopter. It went from the same hunting day to 24 hours after utilizing an aircraft. So you can't hunt 24 hours after utilizing an aircraft now. That just went into effect October 1st. So that's something that people need to be mindful of.
Greg, peel into that a little bit. Or Ron, you know, why was that necessary? Were we seeing an issue? What kind of issue was that causing?
Yeah, we are seeing more of this. You know, before in Title 87, which is the Fish and Game Code, we didn't have a definition of what an aircraft was. And during the 23 session, we were able to get that defined, and it includes whether manned or unmanned. And we do see more drone use now than ever before, whether to spot, locate, or just happen to be flying around taking pictures. You know, that's something we have to navigate, what the person is using the drone for. But we do see an increase in drone use throughout the state.
So it's not illegal, but you just can't hunt until 24 hours after operating a drone. Is
that correct?
Do you think there are more regulations coming with the use of drones? I can see, I guess, some problems if we're not walking it out correctly.
Yeah, I think the way the laws are getting written now is they're planning for, you know, technological advances for the future. You know, trying to write them to cover things that we, you know, not expecting, can't think of right now, which, you know, technology is always evolving, and people are always coming up with new and innovative things to put into the woods. So, you know, laws are getting written out to try to plan for some of that. You know, fair chase is still very important in Montana, and I think Montanans want to keep it that way. So that's the way the laws that seem to be getting.
Digesting it, here's The Hunt is On with Greg Lemon, Ron Howe from FWP, and Dale Moore, host of Shadow of the Rockies here from the Northern Broadcasting System. Ron, as we get to the lightning round here, I want to make sure we hear from you as our chief of law enforcement. You know, are we missing something? What's a reminder out there we need?
Well, last thing I'd like to remind hunters is with regards to technology, is continuing along that theme, is, you know, Onyx is a great program, and many hunters have it. I have it on my phone, for example. But, you know, it is a tool for hunters to use to try to do the best they can to know where they're at, but it's not a perfect system. In a lot of ways, it's great, and in some ways, it continues to get people in trouble on occasion. Again, it's a great tool to be used, but hunters need to use all the tools in their toolbox: maps, talking with landowners, talking with other hunters about, you know, is this piece of public land accessible, you know, that kind of thing. Pay attention to signage and other things that are out there. So don't rely just on one system to know where you are. Like Greg said earlier, most hunters are trying to do the right thing, and most do the right thing. So just use all the tools in your toolbox would be the last message that I'd like to get out there.
Good advice. Dale, what do you have?
Well, one thing, we did a little online quiz a while back, and I was shocked, Ron, this will be for you, that how many people did not know if you shoot an animal, but he continues on and goes over onto private land, you can't cross that land without permission. And a lot of people thought, well, if I've shot the animal, that's okay to go ahead and go on private land without permission to retrieve it.
Yeah, that's a great one, and something we see every fall, and you're absolutely right. You know, even if that animal you watched it go over there and die, you still have to have landowner permission to go on that property and retrieve that animal. You know, the animals belong to the people, and until the individual, you know, puts their tag on it or validates their license, that animal doesn't belong to that individual. And so you have to have landowner permission for all parts of the hunt. So keep that in mind. That's a great one.
Really good reminder. Have a plan. It was earlier on block management. There are differing rules. Chronic wasting disease. Look at the sampling. That's very important. And grizzly bears are still out. Safety always a key. Thank a landowner. A lot of things I want to throw your way, Greg, and you only got 30 seconds.
Well, the last thing I'd say is we've got the Hunter Landowner Stewardship Program that's going right now. Folks can get on, take go through the program, take a test. And this year we're partnering with Onyx for their elite 3-month elite hunt membership. And then Weatherby and 6 a.m. Outdoors, they've donated a rifle and a Madison teepee tent. So you can take that program and then get entered to win a really fantastic prize.
Really cool. A lot of really great youth hunting programs out there. Dale Moore, I appreciate you. I look forward to more of your reports as well. Shadow of the Rockies and the Montana Outdoor Podcast. Catch that on your favorite podcast station. Good to see you and talk with you again, Dale. Yep.
Well, thank you, Tom. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.